this a few years ago with the Good Friday together. And I know sometimes people think, well, you know, I've got this to do, I've got that to do. And we prioritize things that have no eternal value above the things that have eternal value. And some people did a prayer walk around the KeyBank Center yesterday, and I went up there and I walked around it. Man, I just felt God just speaking to my heart in the importance of coming together, not just for Friday night, but I want to encourage you, don't make the house of God just fit when it's convenient for you. Make it a priority in your life, because it, you know, historically and biblically, followers of Jesus would get together not only every week, but mostly every single day. House to house they would go. And Paul would send letters to them when they met together. And that's the Bible. It's coming alive. And when we come together, worshiping together, some things really take place. Number one, God wants us to be together just because He says so. In Hebrews 10:25, He says, don't forsake the assembling or the meeting together as the manner of some, but even more as you see the day approaching. As we continue to get older, I went up to Debbie today and I said, 6 months we'll be putting up a Christmas tree again. We're 6 months. We're almost midway of 2017. Can this be real? But Jesus says to come together. And we come together because we are the bride of Christ. And if we're the bride of Christ, and if you love Jesus, you love the things that He loves. You love them. And He didn't call us to burden us. He calls us together to bless us. Like we just experienced. And some of you leave here today, you won't even know what hit you, and all of a sudden, you'll have power over things that you didn't know you had. Maybe for some that you didn't even ask for. We need to know that coming together, because worshiping Jesus together is powerful. He lives inside of us by His Spirit when we believe in Him. But when we're together, the Bible says He is among us. He is in the midst of us. He does something powerful when we gather together. Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered in His name. There He is, right there. He's inside of us. But there's something that takes place in the atmosphere when we all come together. That is so important. And we need one another. We need Christian community. We need the power of one another. And as great as television and podcasts and all that are, other things are, it does not take the place of our coming together. And the enemy will work. He'll do that first in somebody's life when things don't go the way we thought. That's the first thing we give up, is the fellowship with other believers. And God says that's the last thing you should give up. In fact, in the middle of it, you should press into it even more, because it just makes the enemy mad. And we grow more together than we do alone. Did you hear me today? Amen. We grow when we do life together as believers. Gathering together with other believers, there's also a refining process that takes place. Charlie Crawford prays for me every Sunday. He prays for me, I'm sure, every day. He prays for me, and I went up to him today, and he shook my hand. He said, I just want you to know, when I woke up this morning, I felt to tell you that you've got a job that you cannot do. I said, thanks, brother. I said, thanks for reminding me. But so that's so true, because God works in us. We are nothing without Him. But when we are together, He encourages us. And when you are together, you will see some things that are messy, because people are not perfect. People say, well, I thought they were Christian. Yeah, okay. Means they're forgiven. Doesn't mean they're perfect. Is that what the church is about? You got all these people that are doing this. And listen, you're not part of a great church unless some people are coming with ankle bracelets. You don't have a great church unless there's something, unless the police show up once in a while and take somebody away. Don't do it today, okay? Just let me preach and then you can take them away when they get outside. No, I'm just joking. That's messy, but we need one another. You need one another. And you need it in your family. What do you do when your family comes under attack? What do you do when everything, when the bottom falls out and you look around and you say, "Well, I never anticipated that I was going to be here in life." What do? When your family is under the gun and everything seems to be just falling apart. Paul says it. He writes it in Ephesians 6. After in Ephesians 5, he talks about husbands and wives. And then in Ephesians 6, he starts it off talking about children and parents. And then he brings this up. He says in verse 12, "We don't wrestle against flesh and blood." And I want to tell somebody today, quit fighting with others. They are not your issue. He says, "But we fight against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Can I tell you today that if so-and-so said something or didn't do or did do, they're not your problem. They are not your enemy. If they intentionally hurt you, there was an evil spirit behind pushing them to do that. You need to have grace for them and stand up against the evil forces in your life. He goes on. What do you do with it? He says, take up the armor of God, the whole armor, that you can stand. Stand therefore, girding your waist with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shod your feet. Cover them with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Some of you, you're walking places that are bringing dissension and breaking other people's heart. And the Bible says, get your feet covered so they'll only go places that will eventually bring peace to your life. Amen. Oh, amen. That was good. Amen. You say, "Well, I feel uncomfortable when I come to church." That's not what I'm talking about. Conviction will sooner or later always bring peace to you. Amen. I'll amen myself on that. Above all, take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. If God be for me, who can be against me? 1,000 may fall on my right and 10 on my left. It shall not come nigh my God. I got the shield of faith up. I got the word of God working in my heart. Then he says, put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Be watchful and persevere with all the saints. What do you do when the enemy comes against you, when he tries to take you out, when he tries to take you down? You don't just give in to him. You have to, and I have to learn to stand against that. You have to learn not to give up ground, but you have to stand in the victory that Jesus has already provided for you and I. He tells you what you have to do. We stand in grace. We stand in the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1. We stand in courage and strength. 1 Corinthians 16:13. We stand in faith. 2 Corinthians 1:24. We stand in liberty. Galatians 5:1. We stand in unity. Philippians 1:27. We stand in the Lord. Philippians 4:1. We stand in perfection and we are complete in the will of God in Colossians 4 and verse 12. We stand, and we stand. When we stand, it's a military term. It means that we are to close ranks. We don't surrender any of our territory. I was reminded of this week. I remember years ago that sometimes the Lord will speak to me really early in the morning, like 3. That seems to be his alarm clock. He lives on another time zone than me. Wake me up with this vision or this dream. And I will never forget years ago. This was so vivid in my mind that I got up and I walked out and I looked. And I, in this image, in this, it wasn't really a dream. I really don't know how to describe it. But I saw this big, black, dark, all black, windows tinted. The bus was black. It was like a big coach bus, and it was pulling in my driveway, and I knew inside of it was the enemy, and he was coming for my family. This is when the boys were all little. He was coming for them. And boy, I'll tell you what, when you're raising a family, you better have the strength of God on your side. Because the enemy, whether you want to think so or not, he wants to destroy your seed. Did you hear me today? Moms and dads, the enemy wants to destroy your seed. And I woke up and I remember walking out in the kitchen and I looked out. There was nothing in the driveway, but the Lord was showing me something in the spirit that was coming into my house. The enemy was trying to move in and take over. And I remember I stood and I closed my eyes and I could see that thing. And I pointed to it. In the name of Jesus, you must leave now. Now I could have backed up. I could have been afraid and say, oh no, what am I going to do? And that's what standing means. Standing, I talked about this some times ago. Standing means fire and motion. It means when you stand, you fire against the enemy and then you move and take ground. There's something about that that I just like in my heart. That when the enemy comes against me, you know, it's tough to go through sometimes that transition. But once you go through it and you stand against them, you not only stand against them and tell them to leave, now you take ground. I begin to take ground with other kids. And my kids started bringing other kids to church back then. And there was a short little small revival that was happening among young people at that time. Because what the enemy meant for evil, God said, I'm going to turn it around. If you'll stand and you'll fight back the devil and take ground, I'll show you the glory of God. You stand. You don't sit. You don't back up. You move ahead. You go forward. And secondly, you got to learn to stand in unity. That's why Paul said, your battle is not against other people. Well, I don't like this one. And I don't like what that one did. And this one said something. And that one said something. And he touched me and I didn't like that. And all that. You're always going on and you're thinking, people are against you. People are not against you, but the devil hates your life. You need to rise up out of that. And stand together in unity and believe God to heal your hurt. Some of you have been raised, and I know what I'm talking about, when you've been raised in a dysfunctional home. And you're worried about anything that comes your way. You're thinking, okay, what do they want from me? They're going to hurt me. And your life has been satiated with that from being a youngster to growing up. And now you're an adult and you're still dysfunctional, worrying about that very thing. Because you always think that somebody is against you. And God says, I want to bring you into some unity today. And if you're going to stand against the enemy and have that family that's strong and make it work, you got to work on the unity aspect in your not only in your life and in your family, in the church and wherever you are. 2 Corinthians 11:3, somehow as a servant deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds can be corrupted as well. How does that happen? It's the enemy. He's saying there's a spirit behind it. 1 Timothy 2:14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Now, let me tell you something, husbands and wives. You husbands, you listen to me right now. I'm up in your grill right now. You better stand and love your wife even when you don't think she's lovable. You better hold her. You better, because you will stand and give an account before God for how you treat and honor your wife. Amen. I ought to hear more amens on that. Do I have any men that would just get up on their feet right now and say, yes, that's me. I'm going to, come on, men. Come on, men. Come on, men. Matthew 12:25 says, a house divided against itself will not stand. You can sit down now. I just wanted to see if you'd move. You can sit down. And even in the church, 1 Corinthians 1:10, he said, I plead with you by the name of the Lord Jesus that you speak the same thing and that there be no division among you. Work it out. Work it out. You're big people. I'm mad at this one. They did that. You're just mad at yourself. Move past it. Ephesians 4:3. Keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You got to work at it. Got to work at it. Jesus says, Matthew 18:19, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything, It'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. Can I tell you, moms and dads, right now? Some of the hardest times in your life, in your home, and in your family. If you and your wife, you and your husband will stand together and pray, you will see God move mountains. You know, believe it or not, in growing up our family, we came to some times where my wife and I got down on our knees and we sought the Lord. We still do it. Now we pray for our children. We pray for our grandchildren. We speak those things that are not. We call my grandkids, they are sunk because they are going to serve God no matter what they think or what they want. They will serve the Lord because we stand together. We're in unity, and you got to pray together. You got to believe God for that. And then last, stand together in prayer. You got to pray. When you hear there's a prayer meeting, don't say, well, it's just prayer. I can, you know, somebody else will do it. No, you do it. You do it. Let me tell you something. Some of the most intimate moments of my life have been right at this altar on a Tuesday morning between 6 and 7 o'clock. There may be two, there may be a dozen people in here. But I'm telling you what, when I need an answer from God, man, I come to the house of the Lord. I get on my knees. And let me tell you, let me say this. I don't know if we were talking in staff meeting this last week or some meeting I was in. I don't know. We were talking about that surrender to God. We've missed that. Now, I know some people, maybe you're not able to get down on your knees. But some of you, you just sit there like this and say, I'm not going to bend my knee. But can I tell you today, until you bend your knee, will be until you see the best and the greatest that God has for you. You come to Him in that attitude of prayer. You call out to Him. He says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I'm not talking about reading something off a page. I'm talking about you connecting your heart with the heart of God. Praying, hearing from God. Sensing the power of His Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you. I remember praying for things and I couldn't see it in the natural. But when I closed my eyes, I could see the victory that God was bringing into my life. And He wants to bring it into some of your people's lives today too. Into your homes, into your families. You got to stand. You got to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You got to put on the whole armor of God. You got to hold back. Fight, push forward, and take ground for the kingdom of our God. Come on. You love the Lord? Come on, put your hands together for Jesus today. Come on, give the Lord a great praise today. Let's give to Him now. Hallelujah. Let me tell you another little secret. I didn't plan on it. I don't have it written down, so I don't know the chapter and verse. Job, the Bible says he'd bring an offering to the Lord for his family. For he didn't know if behind his back they were doing something they shouldn't be doing. I'm paraphrasing it. Boy, I'll tell you what, I remember a season, a time in our lives. You want to talk about broken? Nobody can break your heart like family can. Am I the only one that's ever known that? I said, no one can break your heart like family can. Hurt is proportional. If I don't know you, you can tell me you're ugly. You can tell me I'm fat. You can tell me you're a rotten. You can tell me all that. If I don't know you, I just go on. I drove by a guy on the thruway yesterday. I looked over at him. I was going to smile at him. He was calling me every name. I'm good at lip reading sometimes. I'm like, what did I do? I just kept on going. But when it happens in my home, my family, my wife, that rips my heart out. Job said, I brought something to the Lord. I brought an offering to Him. I didn't plan on saying this morning. Some of you need a move of God in your home. When you follow the covenant practice of what God has shown and told us to do in His Scripture, it adds blessing into your household. Well, I see my kids this last Memorial Day weekend. They're camping. They got these nice campers. They're cooking beautiful food. I'm thinking, yeah, they've worked hard. They've done great. But I'm going to tell you where that started. I'll say it right here. You know when that started? When my wife and I got married, and I was making $100 a week, and I said, God, honey, we're going to give to God what belongs to Him. And as I began to sow that seed through a lifetime, the Lord, the Bible says, He'll rebuke the devourer for your name's sake, that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Let's do that. Let's sow supernaturally today and believe Him to do something great. Ushers, come on down. We won't run the announcements now. I don't want to change the atmosphere. Look at the bulletin. Maybe Aaron will put the announcements on Facebook and read them on there today. God just was doing something different today. Hold your offering. Hold His tithe. It belongs to Him. Everything you have is His. If for 1 minute you think what you have is yours and you tell Him that, I pity what will end up in what you're trying to hold on to. Today, Lord, afresh and brand new, we give to You what belongs to You. We trust You. Build Your kingdom. Kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, God. I pray families today that they will grow, they will develop, they will flourish in their knowledge and comprehension of who You are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go ahead. Ryan, bring me up those books, will you? Benjamin, come here. I want to give you, if you want one of these, this is a brand new book by Pastor John Hagee that Victor Stursky left. It's called In Defense of Israel. I'm going to give them. And what's the other one here? This is from David Brog. He's the executive director of Christians United for Israel. This is an incredible book. I've read that a couple times. If you want one, raise your hand. These are all I have, but I'll give those to you. But I want you to read it. Don't just take it, put it on a shelf. You got to read it. And then you got to give me a report on it. No, I'm just joking. But if I told you that and you did it, maybe you would for sure read it. And I also heard it was Lori Huntington's 38th birthday today. Happy birthday, Lori. How we doing? Offering done, books all given out. Need prayer for anything? I'm going to stay down here. Maybe Ben, you'll come up and pray with people too. Go in His grace. I love you so much. Thursday night, Friday night, Key Bank, downtown Buffalo. Make a plan. Make a plan. Pentecost together. And then next Sunday, my friend from Cork, Ireland, you are in for a treat. He is one of the most amazing men of God that I've met in my life. I love you. Hug somebody, bless somebody, shake somebody's hand, tell them they mean a lot to you. Go in His grace. If you need prayer, you come down. We'll pray for you and over you today.